From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will continue his series on Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text is found in Numbers chapter 2, verse 31. They shall go hindmost with their standards. The camp of Dan brought up the rear when the armies of Israel were on the march. The Danites occupied the hindmost place. But what mattered the position, since they were as truly part of the host as were the foremost tribes? They followed the same fiery, cloudy pillar. They ate of the same manna, drank of the same spiritual rock, and journeyed to the same inheritance. Come, my heart, cheer up, though last and least. It is thy privilege to be in the army, and to fare as they fare who lead the van. Someone must be hindmost in honor and esteem. Someone must do menial work for Jesus, and why should not I? In a poor village among an ignorant peasantry, or in a back street among degraded sinners, I will work on and go hindmost with my standard. The Danites occupied a very useful place. Stragglers have to be picked up on the march, and lost property has to be gathered from the field. Fiery spirits may dash forward over untrodden paths to learn fresh truth and win more souls to Jesus. But some of a more conservative spirit may be well engaged in reminding the church of her ancient faith and restoring her fainting sons. Every position has its duties, and the slowly moving children of God will find their peculiar state, one in which they may be eminently a blessing to the whole host. The rear guard is a place of danger. There are foes behind us as well as before us. Attacks may come from any quarter. We read that Amalek fell upon Israel and slew some of the hindmost of them. The experienced Christian will find much work for his weapons in aiding those poor, doubting, desponding, wavering souls who are hindmost in faith, knowledge, and joy. These must not be left unaided, and therefore be it the business of well-taught saints to bear their standards among the hindmost. My soul, do thou tenderly watch to help the hindmost this day.
My hand will say.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer. sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. As he continues a series of studies in the Epistle to the Colossians, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a two-part message entitled, A Faithful and a Fruitful Ministry. In verses 24 through 29 of chapter 1, the Apostle set forth the essence of the gospel ministry. In continuing his exposition of the passage, Dr. Cairns explains the pattern of the Christian ministry. Christ is that pattern, and to be effective, a minister must treat his people as Christ would. As Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, a faithful pastor must shepherd his flock, following the example of him who is called that great shepherd of the sheep. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
In the heart of Paul, and to some extent in the heart of every minister who's called of God, and to every Christian who serves in the body of Christ, there comes also an undying commitment. We're insufficient, says Paul, but our sufficiency is of Christ. We are incapable, but we have a capability in Christ. We're impotent, but we have power in Christ. We're failures, but we have success in Christ. So to Paul, the Christian ministry and Christian service generally was a sacred charge. And thus here in Colossians chapter 1, as he comes to speak of the Christian ministry, he does so in terms of the deepest reverence. You remember that last Lord's Day I said that in the passage 24 to the end of the chapter, he has two main themes. He deals with a faithful and fruitful ministry, and then he deals with a rich and glorious mystery. We're dealing still with the faithful and fruitful ministry. Let me remind you of the doctrine that the Apostle Paul established as he dealt with this theme. The Christian minister, according to Paul, in this passage, the Christian minister has the privilege of serving the body of Christ by representing Christ to the people. A task that may entail for him much affliction of both body and soul, but a task that he must faithfully fulfill with an eye on that day when both minister and people will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last Lord's Day, in dealing with that doctrine, I just got as far as showing how Paul defines the minister as a servant of men and then as a steward of God. Now we must proceed, because what we have before us at this stage is Paul's description of the practice of that ministry. He deals first with the pattern for such a ministry. And the pattern here is the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage, the apostle, and I will take this up more fully as I show you what he means by the sufferings or the afflictions of Christ that are left behind. That's a very telling phrase. He's suffering the left behind afflictions of Jesus Christ. But out of that, first and foremost, I gather that the pattern for Paul's entire ministry was none other than Christ. And this is a far-reaching and heart-searching truth that Paul is here dealing with. He's telling himself, he is setting the standard for himself before his people. He's setting the standard for me, for every Christian minister, for every elder in the Church of Christ. And indeed, derivatively, he is setting the standard for every servant at every step and stage in the work of the church. The minister, and remember the word here is a deacon. It's not speaking of an ecclesiastical office as such. It's speaking of a servant. If you wanted a low-grade servant, an ordinary servant. And he's saying a servant, certainly what we call a minister, must act towards the Church of Christ like the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowadays, if you were in a minister's study, well, you see, that's part of the problem. Most ministers don't have a study anymore. They have an office. I have both. I have an office at the church. I have a study at home. I would like to say I had two studies. I had a study at the church and a study at home. I tried that. But once it gets known that you're there, the study quickly is not permitted to be a study anymore. So it becomes an office. And it's a very useful place to have. And it has served for me and for the people here over the years a very good purpose. I'm not complaining about it. But I have an office. And I have a study. Give me my preference, and I'll have my study over the office any time. Most preachers, however, don't have a study anymore. They just keep office hours. And it shows. But if you were in a minister's office or study, you would see the mail that comes in. The mail that comes is very interesting. There are people who want me to spend $200 to go to this seminar and I learn how to do this or how to do something else. And I have maybe a picture of 25 or 30 grinning physiognomies of these wondrously successful, charismatic-style preachers who could irrigate the desert, they could colonize the moon, they could do anything because they are nature's success stories. For the most part, there are some exceptions, for the most part, none of them has ever been particularly famous as an expositor of Christ. But who needs that? You can learn how to do this, how to do that. I have been offered seminars and how to adopt this method, and you'll build your membership in 1 year, and here's testimony after testimony. We went from 30 to 100. We went from 100 to 1,000. We did this. We did that. Here's how to do it. Of course, what tells you it's of the devil is this. If these people really had that answer, and they were real Christians, they wouldn't be selling it like soap powder. They're just charlatans. How-tos. Now, methods have their place. But the first requisite for the ministry of the church is that ministers, and they'll never learn this in a how-to seminar, must learn to treat people as Christ did. You remember the Lord Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. The shepherd idea is intrinsic to the whole ministry of Christ, both in his life, in his death, and indeed in his resurrected life. He is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. As the risen Christ, he is the great shepherd whom God brought forth from the dead. And in his coming again, he is the chief shepherd who is soon to appear. Now think of this. If he's the chief shepherd, he's not the only shepherd. Now when it comes to saving sinners, he's the only shepherd. But when it comes to dealing with the flock of God, he is the chief shepherd, under whom are called to labor many under shepherds. But every preacher should remember, and I would say this to you young men who are called to minister, every preacher should remember that he's not a lord over God's heritage. He is a shepherd who is under Christ, a man under authority, under control, under guidance, under instruction, and indeed under construction, for he's far from perfect. One of the difficulties of the ministry is this, that the shepherding aspect of the ministry has almost been forgotten. Preachers are counselors. Well, that's part of shepherding sometimes. But when preachers become psychologists instead of theologians administering the Word of God, they have betrayed their calling. Preachers have to be PR men. In many churches, sometimes because of lack of personnel and lack of gifts among the men who are there, they have to be business managers running small business corporations. If they're doing their job right, they have to be preachers. The tendency among many ministers is to lay such emphasis on their preaching performance. Notice I say it that way, not on the importance of the preached message just, but on their preaching performance, that they become isolated from the real world and from real people. I know a preacher, and he said this is a joke, by the way, because he's a very good pastor. Let me make that very clear. He is a very dedicated pastor, and the Lord has blessed him greatly in his ministry. But he said this is a joke, and it was highlighting, you know, humor sometimes can reveal something very serious. He said about the ministry, he said, this would be a great job if it weren't for the people. And that's very often the attitude that ministers have. I have more important things to do, so don't bother me. And that's wrong. Paul says, here's our pattern, the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.